verse 35. Let's go ahead and read verse 31. Or verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. I want to take that phrase out of verse 35 tonight and preach a message entitled Serving the Lord Without Distraction. Now, the Apostle Paul is urging in this particular passage those that are unmarried, if they can stay that way and serve the Lord, he's saying that you will be able to do it without as many distractions as if you were married, whether you're a man or a woman. And again, he's not a male chauvinist, he's just stating a fact. And this scripture is found right in the midst of his discourse on marriage. The admonition stated in this text is a good one for all of us to follow. And I feel like it's a very practical thought. You know, how can I serve the Lord without distraction? What exactly does that mean? And we're all familiar. We live in a fast-paced world where there are a thousand different things that all clamor for our time and our attention. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves attending upon the things of the world and the flesh more than the things of God. Now, first of all, let's just practically look at this. What does this mean, attend upon the Lord without distraction, or serve the Lord without distraction? Well, I don't believe, negatively, if you will, that it means we cannot serve the Lord as long as we are doing other things that are necessary to our existence and common in our lives. Most people have a family. All right? So all of us have to provide for our families. Otherwise, the Bible says, if a man provide not for his own, especially they of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So the idea that serving the Lord, that you can only do that and not do anything else, is really not living in reality. Now, the fact is, the reality is, the workplace is filled with distractions. If you have a family and you're raising kids, there are all kinds of distractions in a normal home. So I don't believe that Paul is telling us to drop everything and become a monk, you know, where you go up to Mount Kilimanjaro to meditate and read the scriptures and write and pray, and that's the only way you can serve the Lord. In fact, I think that would be a sin. Because part of our responsibility in serving the Lord is to have a testimony that others can observe. We have a responsibility to be an example. So I believe that what he means is to understand that the service of the Lord, this is a key thing, get this. Serving the Lord is to be incorporated into all of life. It should be primary in every aspect of your life. That what you do, whether it's being a mom and a wife, a husband and a guy that goes into the workforce, a child who's saved, whoever you are, whatever you do, this serving the Lord without distraction means that your desire is to serve the Lord should be in every area of your life. Whether we're in the home, on the job, in the world, we are to have the claims of Christ always before us. Look what the psalmist said over in Psalm 16 in verses 8 and 9. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in the Lord. He said, I've set the Lord always before me. So if you're going to serve Him, it's something that ought to occupy your mind every day, everywhere you go, everything you do. Look over at Colossians chapter 3. This says it just in a little bit different way. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Everywhere, do it unto the Lord. Understand that God's glory should be of primary importance in everything you do. Here's how most people think what serving the Lord amounts to. Going to church. Well, that's 4 hours a week. If you went every time and you were in Sunday school for an hour, Sunday morning for an hour, Sunday night for an hour, Wednesday night for an hour, that's 4 hours. Then if you were to add your travel time in, we'll double it for 8 hours. Well, there's another 160 hours of the week. So don't get this idea that you're only serving the Lord when you go to church. No, your whole life you're to consciously be aware that everything you do is to be unto the Lord. Everywhere you go, it should be an act of worship. And I think that's just what he's talking about. Keep your mind, your heart, in the service of the Lord wherever you go, whatever you do. To serve the Lord without distraction means to daily consecrate ourselves and dedicate ourselves to the commands of Christ, to the laws of God, by making a conscious effort to honor the Lord in everything that we do. That Christ may be all in all. That whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I think that's what Paul is getting at getting at it. I think it's interesting that he uses this phrase right in the middle of explaining the reality of a marriage relationship. When you get married, you got to serve one another. Well, can you do that and still serve the Lord? Absolutely. But you do have to have your mind right. So this is where I get to my second point. How can this be accomplished? How can you and I serve the Lord without distractions? Well, number one, recognize the enemies of your spiritual service to God. You know why a lot of people are losing in the Christian life? Why they're always defeated, why they're always discouraged? They don't recognize, they are not aware of the enemies of your spiritual life and your spiritual growth. There's plenty of them. The world, the flesh, the devil, circumstances. There are so many snares, so many traps that the devil sets in order to distract you from your purpose. You've got to be disciplined enough to understand that there is always something trying to distract you, trying to steal your time. Whether it could be television, it could be the internet, could be the telephone, discouragement, self-pity, financial problems, other people. All of these things can distract you if you are not aware. They can become distractions to our service if we're not careful. So how do you keep on track? Well, you've got to establish right priorities. The Bible says in Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." So set your priorities. I'm going to seek God first and foremost. His glory, His honor, what He desires for my life as revealed in His Word, and I've been enlightened to by the Spirit of God, I'm putting Him first. And if you do that, you're going to find that you can make decisions a lot better. If you say, "I'm going to put the Lord first. I'm not going to allow all these other distractions to get me sidetracked." All right? So, number one, how do you do it? Understand your enemies. Number two, you got to set your priorities in order. Is God first in your life? Are His commandments of primary importance? Number three, make a concentrated effort to keep your mind on the things of God. Do you think about the things of God throughout the day? "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Where is your mind at? If you're going to serve the Lord without distraction, you've got to get your mind right. You've got to keep your mind on the things of God. Philippians 4, verse 8, "Think on these things." And then he gives you a list of things that are honest and true and holy and pure. You got to get your mind right and keep it right. Number four, discipline yourself to engage in spiritual exercises of Bible study and prayer. If we live to serve the Lord, we have to feed upon spiritual things to be effective in God's service. If you don't take time, and I think it's best if you do it at the very beginning of your day, the rudder for your day should be the Word of God and prayer. Even if it's just a chapter, even if it's 10 minutes of prayer on the way to work while you're driving, I think you gotta set your day, you gotta set it off right, so that your mind is on the things of God as you go throughout the day. But it all comes down to this: discipline. Man, the Christian life without discipline becomes a disaster. You'll be defeated if you don't discipline your mind, your heart, and then concentrate on loving and keeping the commands of God. If you're going to serve the Lord without distraction, do it with a cheerful heart of obedience. I think the first 8 verses of Psalm 119, I just read all of Psalm 119 in my devotions, but look at these first 8 verses and the relationship that the psalmist had to the Word of God and to obedience and keeping the commands. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Notice that word blessed, it means happy. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now I'm going to ask you, honestly, are you actively desirous of being obedient to God, of walking undefiled in the way? And are you happy doing it? Number 6, learn to profit from public worship. Put something into the worship service. Attend faithfully. Prepare your heart for worship. Listen carefully to the teaching of the Word and determine to apply it in your life. Granted, I am not the most learned, scholarly, or eloquent of preachers, but if you will put something into it, you will learn something every time you come to the house of God that you can profit from, that you can incorporate into your life. You've got to make the most of your time. When you come to the house of God, keep your mind on the things of God. Learn to profit from public worship, from the singing, from the praying. Learn the value of keeping your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. There are so many things that want to lead your heart astray. Keep your heart. Guard it, so that it will be available to serve the Lord. And then, number 8, look for ways in which you can serve the Lord in your everyday life. Do you ever think about witnessing to somebody when you get up in the morning? There are times when I'm really on my game. When I wake up and I think, I'm going to witness to people today, when I go out, and I do it. There are times when I think, you know what, I can do something good for somebody today, expecting nothing in return. Even when it may be just speaking a word in season. Folks, all you got to do is look around you. There are miserable people everywhere. Serve the Lord joyfully. Now lastly, what are the benefits of serving the Lord without distraction? When your life is committed to serving the Lord and your heart is set upon God and your desire is unreserved obedience, I believe you're going to experience joy and gladness of heart like you've never had in your life. There is something so joyful about knowing you're serving the Lord. Knowing you're reading His Word, you're praying, you're trying to be a help to people, you're being a witness, you're striving to be faithful in the things of God, you're loving your wife, you're serving your husband, you're training your children. You look at every day as an opportunity to serve. And if you'll seize it, wherever you're at, you'll find your life will be filled with joy and cheerfulness, even when things are troublesome. Another benefit, you're going to grow in grace, in strength. You're going to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He always did those things which pleased His Father. If your heart and mind and will and life and body are set upon serving the Lord, you're going to be more like Jesus, which is the whole aim of the Christian life. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Number three, you'll have greater faith and confidence in the Lord. And at the end of your days, you'll be able to say with Paul the Apostle, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I'm ready to be offered. Don't you want to be that way when you come to your end of your days? I hope, I pray that my mind is right, that I got my senses, and that when I come to the end of my days, I'm not miserable. I'm not bitter. I don't want to be a bitter old man. I want to be, when it's my time to go, I want to be able to say, man, I fought the fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. I'm ready to go meet the Lord. Now, I realize all of us, if we're really honest, we've all got regrets. But if you dedicate yourself to serve the Lord without distraction, to attend upon Him without distraction, and make this a daily discipline in your life, I feel like after years and years and years of service, when you come to the end of your days, you will be ready to go. I want to live and serve so that I have no regrets. I've been saved for 38 years. I've seen people. They serve the Lord for a while. They get out of sorts. They get crossways, they get out of God's fellowship, and their lives become miserable. Many of them become castaways. I'm not saying they're not saved, but they're not no longer useful. It's like they're on an island, God won't use them anymore. I don't want to be that way. So we've got to serve the Lord and strive to serve without distraction. And I believe that if you do so, you are going to receive an abundant entrance into heaven. And you'll be rewarded. And believe me, it's worth far more than any houses, lands, money, wealth that you could ever accumulate here on this earth. As the Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal. The fact of the matter is, treasures on the earth are fleeting. And in comparison to the longevity of eternity, the infinity of eternity, there's no comparison. So serve Him. Determine tonight to be the best husband you can be, the best wife, the best church member, the best worker where you work, the best testimony. Don't you want to be exceptional? Don't you want to be someone that people will say, now there's a man or a woman that's serving God. I want that kind of testimony. May the Lord help us to serve Him without distraction.
That's it.